Parshas Shoftim, Avishai David. The pasuk says in this week's parsha, Ki sabo el haaretz asher Hashem Elokecha nosein elsein lecha bi rishto bi yashavta bo bi amarto asimu alai melech kechol hagoyim asher svivosai. The Torah speaks about the notion of appointing a king. And then the Torah follows upon the heels of that statement, Som tosim alecha melech asher yivcha Hashem Elokecha bo, a king should be chosen by the people, but one that has the approbation, the approval of Hashem Yisbarach. And then we have a list, a litany of injunctions regarding the king and the like. So, the language of the pasuk is rather striking. The amarta, you will say, asima alai melech kechol hagoyim asher svivosai. Perhaps there is no obligation, no commandment to appoint a king. Instead, the psukim are simply indicating, predictably, what will happen in the future and how a king should behave once he's appointed. And perhaps there's another possibility that there is an obligation to appoint the king. So this is the subject of a big machlokes among the Rishonim. And when one examines the matter, one has to look at the psukim in Shmuel Aleph Paraches, where there Klal Yisrael requested from the Navi, from Shmuel, a king, Sima lanu melech l'shavteinu kichol agoyim. And yet neither Shmuel nor Hashem Yisbarach saw this as a positive request. Because, as the Navi indicated, Hashem is the ultimate king, and we know what kings are capable of doing, Rachmana Litzlan. And therefore, Shmuel issues a very stern warning, and yet the people there are insistent on the appointment of a king. And at the end of the day, reluctantly, Hashem indeed commands Shmuel to appoint a king over them. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Chaf Amud Beis presents a machlokes regarding this question. The Gemara there comments, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shalosh mitzvos nistavu Yisrael b'chnisasan la'aretz. There were three mitzvos that devolve upon Klal Yisrael when the Eretz Yisrael. One is l'hamid la'amelech, to appoint a king. The second is l'achru zarah shel Amalek, to eliminate Amalek. The third is to build the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaBchira. And then the Gemara comments, Rabbi Noroi Omer, Lo nemra pasha zu ala keneged tarumasan. And those, the Gemara presents two positions. Rabbi Yehuda holds there's a commandment to appoint a king. Rabbi Noroi believes there is no mitzvah to appoint a king. But if the people insist on it, so then we have to acquiesce. And this is a machlokes not only in the Gemara, but a machlokes among the Rishonim. Many Rishonim contended the request for a king is not appropriate. A human monarch is not ideal. And yet, reluctantly, the Torah gives permission to appoint a king because of the shvachkeit, the weakness of a human being. It's a reshus, but it's not an imperative. And the second set of Rishonim contends there's an obligation, there's a mitzvah to appoint the king. The one of the most prominent of the Rishonim who hold there's no mitzvah to appoint a king is the Ababinel, who himself, as we know, served as the finance minister of Spain, of Portugal. He was there during the expulsion of Jews from Spain, and obviously he was quite familiar with the monarchy. He suffered personally at the hands of these absolute monarchs. And the Ababinel explains by Arichos that Shmuel was upset at Klal Yisrael because kingship is a dangerous institution. It's not that Klal Yisrael wanted a king because they felt an immediate need, whether it was political or military, for a centralized kind of leadership, but rather they wanted to be, as the pasuk says, Kichol HaGoyim. Me too. Just as they have kings, we want kings. And therefore, Hashem Yisbarach and Shmuel saw their request as representing a lack of Hakaras HaTov. Indeed, Hashem Hu Malkeinu, Hashem Moshiyenu, So already here in Pasha Shoftim, in Sefer Dvarim, the pasuk says as well, Ki sabar al aretz, asher Hashem elokecha nelsin lecha b'yirishto b'yashavta bo, v'omarto, asimu alai melech k'chol hagoyim asher siv olsoi. So the Ababinel takes the tack that there is no obligation, there is no mitzvah to appoint a king. It's only a reshus, it's not obligatory. He brings a number of proofs from his perspective. Number one is that if there was a commandment, there was no need for the Torah to tell us that the people have to ask for one. Secondly, he argues if there's a commandment to appoint a king, why does the Torah tell the people to request a king in order to be like other nations? Which, of course, is the very antithesis that we should not emulate the culture of the Gentile world around us. Furthermore, he points out the opening of the Psukim in Dvarim point to the fact that it's not at all a mitzvah. The first pasuk says, Ki sabar al aretz asher Hashem elokecha nelsin lecha b'yirishto b'yashavta bo. That's just a description of future events. It's not a command. And therefore, the rest of the parsha is also a description, but not a mitzvah, not an obligation. Fourthly, Ababinel points out there's an inconsistency in the position of those who argue that monarchy is a mitzvah. If there's a mitzvah to appoint a king, then really there are two mitzvahs that are being mentioned here. One, to appoint a king, and second, that the king be chosen by Hashem is Barach. And yet no one counts here two separate mitzvahs. And finally, the Ababinel examines Shmuel's response to the nation's desire for a king. Shmuel rebukes them. Shmuel gives them mussar and castigates them for requesting a king. So why didn't the people respond? They were simply trying to fulfill the mitzvah. Evidently, says the Ababinel, there is no such mitzvah. And this approach of the Ababinel is very much in sync with his broader political philosophy. Ababinel believed that the ideal human existence is a political one, similar to the life of Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden, and after the chet of Adam HaRishon, there's a need for political governance, and the purpose of government is to prevent anarchy and corruption, and this is found in Chazal, in many, many different contexts. Mishnah Pirkei Avos writes, Il molei moiroh shel malchus, ish yisraelu chayim below. So the government is an unfortunate, but a necessary evil. So clearly the Ababinel felt the need to limit the power of any structure that involves kings, political leaders, and the Ababinel specifically notes in Dvarim that even if it's a good thing for nations in general, it's not good for Klal Yisrael. The monarch serves several functions. Number one, a military function. Number two, a legislative function. And number three, an extra legal kind of function, maintaining law and order. And these functions, says the Ababinel, are not needed by Klal Yisrael. Ribono Shel Olam is the Ramatkal, the commander-in-chief. We don't need a king as a legislature. We have the Torah, which is our legislation, nor do we need a monarch to administer extra legal punishment that was given to the Beis Din. So this is more or less a précis of the position of the Ababinel. There are many Rishonim who disagree with him. They argue the king is ideal. There's a mitzvah to appoint the king. However, whatever criticism was leveled at Klal Yisrael was primarily because they requested a king at an importune, improper kind of time. So the Ramban in Chumash explains that the command to come before the Shoftim, Kohanim, and Levi'im to request a king should be done after Yerusha v'Yeshiva, after we settled already in Eretz Yisrael. So when the Torah says, K'chol HaGoyim Asher Sivosai, how could Hashem command Klal Yisrael to emulate the nations around them? So clearly this is a hint, a foreshadowing of future events, what's going to happen in the future. That's what the Torah says, V'yomarta. There's a predictive element here. What's Klal Yisrael going to ask of Shmuel in the future? And the Ramban indicates there is a commandment to appoint the melech. The pasuk about the king, when the Torah says, Yesom tasim alech melech, is parallel to another pasuk, ki sibne bayis chadosh v'sisa makal gagecha, to build the parapet around one's roof to prevent, God forbid, any potential danger. And that pasuk is most certainly a mitzvah. There's an obligation to build a fence on one's roof. So too, Klal Yisrael has to appoint a king. So we have the subject of monarchy is a subject of a major machlokes among the Rishonim. Is it a mitzvah, as the Ramban contends, or clearly not an ideal institution, which is the position of the Ababonel? Now, Soloveitchik Zatzal always noted that kingship is bound up with the human desire for friendship, for coexistence. We know the pasuk says at the beginning of Bereshis, Lo tov heyos ha'adam levado. So in order to save man from a state of loneliness, which is one of the scourges of mankind, boredom and loneliness, said the Rav, his helpmate Chava was created. And we know that man wants to negate his loneliness and does it through a variety of different methodologies. There are different types of human associations and relationships that are created because Lo tov heyos ha'adam levado. Man does not want to be alone. The development of social units that are designed to extricate a man from loneliness cannot engender this ideal social harmony because all men are distinctive and there's no perfect social integration. So we all have our individualistic elements. Kishem shepatsufei minim shavim kach deosei minim shavos. Just as our physiognomies are different, so too our worldview is also different. Some people become strong and ascend on the ladder of success. Others become frustrated and descend. So the fear of loneliness and the need to search for a social framework leads to the implementation of a ruling structure. Now, Soloveitchik commented and said when he reads Megillas Esther, he's very struck by a peculiar phenomena. In the course of many generations of human history, there has been minimal change in the ruling structure of human beings. Here we have in the Megillah, Ahasuerus, who's rather impetuous in his decisions. He commands to kill his wife, Vashti, according to the advice of Memuchan. And a short while later, he issues a command to kill his close friend Haman because of the complaint of Esther, Hamalka. And it appears that even today we're witness to some of the attributes of Ahasuerus as they're described in the Megillah. Here we have the impulsiveness and impetuosity of one individual that can cause not only the murder, but a bloodstained war and the cruel conquest of an entire country. One person can cause the destruction of many, as we see in Russia and Ukraine, Putin. And it's not out of the realm of possibility that a single autocrat will press a button that will inflict untold destruction. So nothing much has changed from the days of Ahasuerus. And in that vein, Yadus was always very circumspect and felt it was not prudent for one person to arrogate for himself so much power. The well-known expression, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Power has to be compartmentalized. Often we live with the reality of power being concentrated in the hands of one individual. And the ruling structures will never be ideal. Now, Soloveitchik often quoted his father, Hagaon Yomei Soloveitchik Zatzal, who contended, if there is a mitzvah to appoint a king, it's predicated upon three conditions. Number one, only if there's an objective reason to do so for the defense of the people and the country. The Gemara Tzahed in Daf Chaf Amud Beis tells us that Klal Yisrael, as I mentioned earlier, were commanded to fulfill three mitzvahs when they entered Eretz Yisrael. Minun Melech, appointing a king, blotting out the Zera of Amalek, and building a Beis HaBchira. And these mitzvahs devolve upon a king, and without him, anarchy will prevail. As we know from the well-known Pasuk in Sefer Shoftim, where the Navi tells us in Perichof Aleph, Bayom Maim Me Melech B'Yisrael, Isha Yosher Bein of Yase. When there's no king, everyone did whatever pleased them. Total anarchy, total chaos. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim very clearly, in Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud, a king is not appointed except to exercise judgment and wage wars, and that's a warranty for appointing a king. Every king has to have a specific agenda. During the days of David HaMelech, his tenure as a king was designed for the lofty goal of achieving achdus, unity, among the Shiftei Yisrael, and creating a creative, nationalistic kind of unity and coalescing the forces of defense against our enemies. Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, was able to dedicate the bulk of his efforts towards the Beit HaMikdash, building the Beit HaMikdash. According to our Masaira, Chizkiyahu HaMelech used his kingship to disseminate the study of Torah. According to Avraham Rabbi Nosson, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and not Ezra HaSofer, was the one who established the Anshei Sagdola. So, that's one condition. A second condition, of course, is predicated upon the Bakasha of Klal Yisrael. You can't impose a king upon the people against their wishes. Chazal have a beautiful expression. Ein melech below am. There's no king without a people. And that precondition is stated in the Pasuk in Chumash, V'yomarta osimu alai melech kichol hagoyim ashesu yosai. That condition is also explicitly stipulated in the Rambam asks, since the appointment of a king is a mitzvah, so why didn't Hashem acquiesce when the people asked Shmuel Hanavi for a king? And the answer is because they asked in a querulous kind of spirit. They weren't interested in fulfilling a mitzvah. They were disdainful of the Navi Shmuel. And Shmuel himself says, it's not that they spurned him, but they spurned Hashem Yisbarach. And therefore, the Rambam is trying to give the impression that the desire, the acquiescence of the people to appoint the king is a prerequisite for its viability. Clearly, Chazal did not see in the idea of kingship an ideal kind of setting. The reason that such a structure is liable to lead to moral turpitude, to a very whimsical and even capricious use of authority. And with the strengthening of authority, the personal autonomy of each individual diminishes considerably. Even Shaul HaMelech, when the Navi levels the accusation, he didn't carry out the divine order to destroy Amalek. Right away, Shaul HaMelech points the finger at the people. Hashacham al ha'om al meitav atzom. He's not guilty. Klal Yisrael are guilty. And Rav Soloveitchik suggested the unwillingness of Yadus to unilaterally support a strong ruling structure emanates from another issue. Usually those that are chosen for this role are precocious, have talents, and that's not the only criterion for leadership of others. Yadus did not measure the axiological value of a person solely upon his intellectual credentials. Umpteen strong times the stress is, Rachmana Liba Boi, HaTorah wants the heart, and it's often the humble and modest person that Hashem Yisbarach is looking for. We say actually, HaMelucha VaMimsholo L'Chai Olamim, kingship and rulership belong exclusively to the Belubik of Hashem Yisbarach. Sometimes, he'll call upon human beings to join him and follow in his footsteps. But regarding this notion of rulership and kingship and monarchy and power, clearly that's something that is in the hands of Hashem Yisbarach. Even other Marishon, who wanted to arrogate for himself power, and the Nachash took advantage of that Achilles heel, when they said, "V'yisem, we're going to be like rulers, Kelohim, Yodei Tov V'ra." So Yadus was very wary of one person acquiring a lot of power, not only in the political realm, but in the judicial realm as well. Ultimately, both of these realms are in the possession of Hashem Yisbarach. HaMelucha VaMimsholo L'Chai Olamim. Bekerev Elokim Yishvot. And that's generally our stance. So the concept of kingship is not only an expression of a political notion, but it's also a lofty spiritual idea It's really a metaphysical notion that characterizes our social covenant for millennia. It's a vision, an idea. Chosenness. Hashem carried out this minoy, designates one individual for this assignment. But no doubt a melech, as the Rambam writes very clearly, Lev shel klal Yisrael, he carries a heavy burden. And every one of us has a assignment, a tafkid. All of us are contractually bound to our employer, who's Hashem Yisbarach. And that's what we see as well in Megillas Esther. Vayomer Mordechai l'ashiv el Esther al tzedami b'nashrech l'amilvali beis hamelech mikol ha-Yehudim ki imachareish tachrishi beis hazos relach v'atzola yamo la-Yehudim mokam achir v'yatu beis avich toveidu mi yodea leis kazos higad ha-Malchus. The message that Mordechai told Esther was simple and straightforward. Every person has a mission he has to fulfill. Esther was chosen by Hashem Yisbarach to save Klal Yisrael from, God forbid, being consigned to oblivion. And we too have to recognize our collective mission. First, we have to defend the physical security of every Jew, wherever he may be, which is a formidable task in our day, perhaps even more so than in previous generations. In the distant past, the non-Jewish world, the Gentile world, attempted to isolate us in congested ghettos, to embitter our lives, to disenfranchise us from our civil rights. And today the enemies of Klal Yisrael in the diaspora and here in Eretz Yisrael threaten us with terror, with war. We have to be vigilant. We have to defend Jewish security universally. And secondly, the mission of a person is going to be accomplished no matter what happens. Because as Mordechai told Esther, if you're passive, if you don't implement the mission, it'll be realized through some other venue, some other means. And the third condition, of course, is that a person who has a particular assignment to fulfill and doesn't carry it out is a traitor, is a transgressor. So, clearly, a melech chosen for kingship has an enormous mission devolving upon him. Rav Soloveitchik noted, based on a Kabbalistic doctrine, that the concept of Shekhinah expresses the intimate, ongoing closeness that Hashem Yisbarach shows Libruah to his created beings. In our tefillos, when we speak of the existence of Hashem, we stress his transcendence, his distance from us, namely, Ato Kadosh, Rishimcha Kadosh, Ribbono Shel Olam is ineffable, distant, far removed, beyond, mufrosh, muvdal, but at the same time, we stress the imminence and closeness of Hashem Yisbarach, especially in a time of tzara. Hashem shomrecha, Hashem tzilcha al yad yiminecha. And Shekhinah is connected to a shochein, a neighbor. Shekhinah is connected to the unbounded love of a mother for a child with all of their weaknesses and shortcomings. A mother's forgiving given to a rebellious child will never abandon him. Hashem dwells with us despite our contamination. The connection is always there. And in a similar vein, the Kabbalah compares Shekhinah to kingship. Jewish kings were always sensitive to the sensibilities of simple citizens, were always available to them. They had access. We know that unlike non-Jewish kings, who essentially are very removed from the populace, we see that in the Megillah as well, Megillah says there, where she herself notes to Mordechai, Kol Abdi HaMelech V'Yam Medinas HaMelech Yodim. Everyone knows, Asher Kol Ish V'Isha, Asher Yobu HaMelech Alachotze HaPnimis Ashodo Yikorei, Achaz Dasod HaMis. Anyone who's going to approach the king in the inner chamber is going to be put to death unless the king extends their scepter and gives them permission to approach. And yet, in stark contrast, Shlomo HaMelech is approached by two women who had access to the king despite their lowly situation. Jewish kings have a direct connection to the masses, while the protocol of Achashverosh is unconscionable from our perspective. Every Jew can approach Hashem Yisbarach, can approach the Melech Malchei Amlochim to the medium of Tefillah. We can knock on the portals of the heavenly gate, implore Hashem Yisbarach to receive our Tefillos. We beseech Him, Bidmo Shalish, with tears, to accept our overtures. The doors to Shamayim are open constantly. So in effect, that's exactly what the Melech is all about. He may be somewhat removed, somewhat above. On the other hand, he's directly connected. He's the lave of Klal Yisrael. And that's how the Rambam uses that expression, Libo shel Melech, the heart of the king is the heart of all Klal Yisrael. Not only must the heart be pressing into the existence of his brethren, there has to be empathy, there has to be sensitivity, genuine partnership, a real sincere brotherhood that's involved with tzedakah and chesed. And this notion that a melech has juridical proprietary rights over his subjects was negated by Yadus. Only Hashem has baitlus, only he has total ownership over the entire earth. Lashem Aritzim Loya Table of Yeshreba, because he created it. Ki al Yam Misoda, the Al Nahara Sikhaninea. And of course, the ideal kingship will reach its acme with the advent of Melech HaMashiach. And Mashiach again is essentially someone who's going to bring about redemption. The Rambam's Lashon is very beautiful, very telling. In Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam actually writes in Perek Tes, Halacha Beis, Sha'osa Melech Shiyamu Mizera David, the king who's going to emerge from David HaMelech, from his Sion, Bal Chochma Yiyad Yesem Mishlomo, will be wiser than Shlomo HaMelech, Novi Godel, who carved Moshe Rabbeinu, a great Novi, approaching the level of Moshe, V'lefikach Yilami Kolom V'yore Elsam Derech Hashem, he'll teach all the people, show them the ways of Hashem, the entire world will come to hear him, as the Navi indicates. So the Rambam essentially has merged two personality, the king and the Rebbe. We shouldn't have a machlokes whether he refers to Moshe Rabbeinu or Moshe Malkeinu. And of course, the answer is Tzvei Dinim, a dialectic. Moshe is both a Melech as well as the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. The greatest of the teachers and the master of all the Nevi'im was in the category of Melech, Vayi Bishur Melech, but ultimately Moshe Rabbeinu was known as the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. And that's exactly the role of a Melech from our perspective. There are two concepts that always come together, Kedusha and Malchus. Somehow these two are inextricably intertwined. There's a bonding. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest king ever in Klal Yisrael. And when was Moshe coronated as a king? Where was that investiture? The answer is at Har Sinai. We say in the Tfilos of Leil Shabbos that in effect, when Moshe Rabbeinu stood on Har Sinai, he was given a keser, a crown of glory. And Moshe Rabbeinu, his physiognomy radiated light. And this happened in the second Luchos. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was crowned at that point in time. Not at the first Luchos, but the second Luchos. What happened between the first giving of the Torah in Shavuos and the second giving of the Torah in Yom Kippur? The answer is the Chet HaEgel. Moshe did not stumble in his actions. Moshe was venerated by the people. And there's no question the future Geula is imminent. However, in order to achieve the seat of kingship and the height of Kedusha, one has to recognize there are pitfalls, there are crises that can stand in one's path. And Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Lech Rei Kishichei Samcha. Moshe realized, when he descended from Har Sinai, Beluchas Eidus, the first Luchas were in his hand. Klal Yisrael were not yet ready for Kabbalah Satorah, and the descent was painful, and only in the context of the second Luchas, the Moshe Rabbeinu is crowned as the Melech par excellence. So, just summarizing, there's a Machlokes HaRishonim, whether there's a mitzvah to appoint the Melech, or it's only a Rishus. Clearly, the idea of Malchus is far from ideal, because the ultimate Melech, of course, is Hashemu Malkeinu, Hashemu Moshiyenu, Ribon Shel Olam is the ultimate king. He is the one that we have to see as directing our lives, the one who is guiding us, the one who is in effect providing us with security. Halavai, that we should be zoche to that madrega. Hamelucha v'amimshala l'chayu lomim, to recognize Hashem as the ultimate melech. V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, v'yomahu yiyeh Hashem echod ishmo echod. And that we can recognize, even in this world, the kingdom of Hashem. And that's something, of course, in Chodesh Elul, which is critical. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li, we have to strengthen, in this month, our closest to Hashem is Barach. We have to strengthen the feeling of Abba, recognize all the good that Hashem has done for us. And in effect, we have to see that as Rosh Hashanah approaches, Rosh Hashanah, of course, is the day of coronation. That's the day when people recognize the Malchus of Hashem. Adon Olam Hashem Malach Meterem Kol Yitzir Nivra. The master of the universe, who reigned before anything was created. He was the king before. He'll always continue to be the king. V'acharei kichlos hakol, levado yimloch nora. He is going to be the only one reigning alone. He's awesome. And le'es nasa v'chetzo kol, at the time when his will brought everything into being on the sixth day when other Marushan was created, azai melech shemo nikra. Then his name was proclaimed. There was someone, other Marushan, who recognized the Malchus of Hashem. Halavai, we should be zolcha b'karov, that Malchus, Yitz Hashem, will emerge in his full glory and splendor. And v'hoya Hashem the Melech al kol ha'aretz, v'yomahu yiyeh Hashem echad ushmo echad, in this Chodesh Elul b'zolcha, som tosim alach ha'melech, but it will not be an earthly king, but rather it will be a heavenly king, and that heavenly king will be one that we will coronate in Yitz Hashem b'karov during the course of Chodesh Elul, and finally, in effect, b'chatzaytzeis u'b'kol shefer, habil ufnei ha'melech Hashem, we will in effect place HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the top, the ultimate Malchus, halavai, that should be mekuyim b'karov, and it should remain the Netzach Netzachim, amen v'yomein.